Guys, a little quiet. It's a little bit later now in the service, so like, you know, when I make my jokes during announcements, guys are a little quiet. I expect you're a little bit more awake now. Well, thank you, Bill and Praise Team. Thank you, Tracy, for that wonderful thing and just display of worship. Hopefully that puts us in the right place, in the right space to be able to worship God. And then as we go into His Word, I am very humbled and grateful. I enjoy teaching our students. I love our students. They keep you young. Sometimes your body reminds you otherwise, but they definitely keep you young, and at least in spirit. But it's always a pleasure to be able to speak to some adults, all right? So that's always good, so it is a pleasure. What I love about, like, me preaching and Bill leading worship, it just reminds you that God raises up people when there's a need. And so we'll kind of see that through this passage. And so we're going to go through Daniel chapter 3. I know it's a very familiar passage. I don't know about you, but I remember growing up in Sunday school when we still had felt board. You guys remember the kids like, what is a felt board? All right. So we had felt board and then little people cutouts. And then, you know, as little kids, the greatest part of Sunday school was when they let you play with the felt board afterwards. All right. Now, it wasn't every time. And so, like, for kids like me who talked a lot, it was a great incentive to just be quiet so they can finish the lesson. And then you get to play and make Isaiah and, you know, all them fight each other. So it is a very familiar passage. They even, VeggieTales even had their own version. It's called Rack, Shack, and Benny. Come on. All right. I thought I was going to get more from that, you know, and the chocolate bunny and all. Come on. All right. So you guys need to go back. That's the old school VeggieTales. All right. You need to watch it. You'll actually appreciate computer graphics after that when you watch some of the old school stuff. But we're going to talk about going through the fire. And I don't know about you, but when I hear through the fire, I can't help but sing Chaka Khan. But I won't do that today. But we will go through Daniel chapter 3. And it just reminds us that God will show up for His people as they remain faithful to Him. All right? God will show up for His people as we remain faithful to Him. So as we delve into this very, like I said, familiar passage, I wanted to provide a little bit of background. I don't know if you guys know your biblical history. We sometimes do this in youth. And it surprises me sometimes how much the kids know or how much they don't know when we are putting things together as far as the historical background of some of what's happening. And so a little history of the Babylonian conquest. All right. Babylon took over the kingdom of Judah. The nation of Israel had split at this point already. I don't know if you guys know that. After the kingship of Solomon, the kingdom splits. All right. And you have Israel in the north and then Judah in the south. And then Israel falls to Assyria and then Judah falls to Babylon. All right. And then so there was a reason for that. And in 1 Chronicles 9:1, it says, so all Israel was recorded in genealogies, and these are written in the book of the kings of Israel. And Judah was taken into exile in Babylon. And this is what, at least the author gives the purpose for this. Judah was taken into exile in Babylon because of their breach of faith. All right. And so we kind of see that the reason that God allows Babylon to take over Judah is because of the faithlessness of Judah. All right. And it's always interesting because God will do that to His people. We've seen it. Pastor Dave did a whole series on the book of Judges. All right. Book of Judges, very cyclical. You know, the people did right in their own eyes. And then, you know, they did whatever they wanted to do. And then God raises up a people group to take over them. And then in their pain, in their suffering, they cry out to God. And then God raises up a judge. Judge saves them from the people group. And then everything is for a while, and then they do right in their own eyes again, and then the whole cycle begins. And you see that, and actually it was, as Pastor Dave said, it was kind of like a downward spiral, right? It wasn't just a cyclical thing this way. And so we see that in Judah. And so this is kind of the background of this book. The people have been taken into exile. Babylon, when they take over a country, they actually don't just kill everyone. All right, they want to assimilate some of the nobles from that place into their nobleship of Babylon. They teach them the Babylonian ways. They want to incorporate them into the society. And so they do that. And we all know the beginning of the book of Daniel, where they bring in all these noble sons of Jerusalem into the land. and into Babylon, and they teach them and they train them in the king's way, right? And so that's where we get our first story of Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and they actually are fasting to some extent from the king's food, eating vegetables and water, all right? It's a rough time. I know no Texans could do that, all right? Because we would be looking for some barbecue. I don't know. Just saying. All right. But with that being said, hopefully we would have been able to do that. Just grill the romaine lettuce. It would be good. And so we see that God actually orchestrates all of this. All right. And sometimes we look in history and we think, I don't know if God's there. I don't know if God is a part of that society. And so if we actually go back to Daniel chapter 2, verse 37, 38, it shows us that God is a part of, all right, God is present in a faithless society. Even in a faithless society, God is present. And so let's read Daniel chapter 2, verse 37, 38. It says this, it says, you, O king, and this is Daniel interpreting the dream that Nebuchadnezzar had. He says, you, O king, the king of kings, to whom the God of heaven has given the kingdom, the power and the might and the glory. Don't miss that. It says, you, O king, the king of kings, to what? To whom the God of heaven has given the kingdom, the power and the might and the glory, and into whose hands he has given wherever they dwell, the children of man, the beasts of the field, and the birds of the heavens, making you rule over them all, you are the head of gold. God orchestrates this. He allows Nebuchadnezzar and the people of Babylon to be where they are historically. You know, a lot of times we look at history, we think, God, I don't know what you were doing there. All right? And let's be honest, right? If we're just being real with ourselves, we can look back and think, man, I don't know if I see God there. But even in the midst of all of those hardships, even in the midst of exile and those type of things, God is there. And that should give us faith as his people to say, okay, God is present in the background of all things. And so this happens in terms of leadership. God has placed Nebuchadnezzar, allowed him to rule. The same actually goes for us today. All right. God, in his providence, allows the leadership of any country, all countries, including ours, to be who they are, no matter how ungodly, how immoral, how faithless they may be according to our own personal standards, okay? Understand that God allows those things to take place and allows them to go into that role. Romans 13, verses 1 through 2, we all know this. It says, let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed, and those who resist incur judgment. And understand, when that passage was written, this was Paul writing, right, during Roman rule, under Nero, okay? The government that put Jesus to death, this is the government that would eventually execute Paul as well, and this is the government that would persecute early Christians and then eventually lead to the siege and the destroying of the city of Jerusalem. This is the government that Paul is talking about. I don't know about you, but I feel like even in America today, and whatever we feel about the government now, it doesn't sound like that, all right? It doesn't sound like Roman rule. I don't see us being thrown into Coliseums or NRG Stadium and letting, like, hungry lions like come at us. I don't see that, all right? And so understand that even in a faithless society, even as Rome and Babylon, God is in the background and his hand and his providence is there. And so he allows things into the larger scope of history. We don't know about it. And this is, by the way, this is all background to the actual text. All right, work out something bigger than we could ever know, which brings us to the second thought. All right, so one, God is evident or present even in a faithless society. And then the second one is this, that God allows his people to be a part of a faithless society. And all of this plays in part into the story that's about to take place in Daniel chapter 3. All right, God literally placed Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the positions of political influence and power. All right, he allows us to be a part of the society that we are in. In fact, we all heard the term, be in the world, but not of the world. All right, God wants us, salt and light, right? in Matthew. Salt in a salt shaker is pointless. All right? And so we got to get sprinkled somehow. Wherever God places us. I should have brought my salt shaker, but then somebody would have to vacuum. But, you know, you have to allow the salt. You can't be all light in one concentrated place. It's useless, right? You need light to be out in the darkness. You need salt to be out on that food. I promise you. Hopefully you use some salt in your food. All right. And so understand that God allowed that to happen. And so again, in his providence, God places his people into a society that seemingly wants nothing to do with him. All right. And so that is the background of Daniel chapter 3. We are allowed to be a part of the society that we're in, no matter how godless we think it is. Okay. And so as we think about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, what does that look like for us? Because, you know, he often allows his people to find favor in leadership positions, you know, so simply because these people lived out their faith and exercised goodwill towards others. Basically, they lived out their faith. They walked out the walk, right? They didn't just talk about it. They walked it. And so you got people like Daniel. You got people like Joseph, Mordecai, Esther, obviously Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They weren't necessarily looking for promotion, but God allowed them and found them a way into a place and puts them in a situation when promotion was inevitable, because they simply showed their faith. And so when you're out on your own and you're doing your thing, as far as work, whatever it may be, God places you there. He allows you to be there, to be an influence for him. And so there's often a greater purpose that we don't see either. All right, so you got Joseph. He had to keep many people alive. Genesis 50, 20, Pastor Dave actually quoted that a few weeks ago, all right, about how God works things out. And then Mordecai and Esther to ensure the continuation of the Israelites. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and Daniel to show off God to a pagan king and to a pagan kingdom, all right? And so what is God doing in our own lives? That's just a thought. As we go into this passage, think that through. Allow that to seep into your brain of, what is God doing in our own lives? What greater purposes is he fulfilling through each one of us? All right. Do we live out our faith daily and exercise kindness and goodwill toward others, especially those that don't hold to our faith or think the way that we think or hold, God forbid, to the same political values that we hold on to? Do we treat them with kindness? Do we treat them with goodwill? And show our faith off in that way, all right? And so let's get into our story today. So we're going to be in Daniel chapter 3. We're actually going to be in the whole chapter, so we'll walk through it piece by piece so you guys aren't, like, over-inundated with one chapter of reading. All right, so let's start with verses 1 through 12. One thing that we see is this, and what I want to look is kind of some of the posture that happens in this passage, all right? So the first one is this. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they stand up. All right, so they stand up. So verses 1 through 12 says this. It says in verse 1, King Nebuchadnezzar made an image of gold whose height was 60 cubits and its breadth 6 cubits. He set it up on the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Then King Nebuchadnezzar sent to gather the satraps, the prefects, and the governors, the counselors, the treasurers, the justices, the magistrates, and all the officials of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then the satraps, the prefects, and the governors, the counselors, the treasurers, the justices, the magistrates, and all the officials of the provinces gathered for the dedication of the image that God had set up. And they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. And the herald proclaimed aloud, "You are commanded, O peoples, nations, and languages, that when you hear the sound of the horn, pipe, lyre, trigon, harp, bagpipe, and every kind of music, you are to fall down and worship the golden image that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. And whoever does not fall down and worship shall immediately be cast into a burning, fiery furnace. Therefore, as soon as all the peoples heard the sound of the horn, the pipe, the lyre, trigon, harp, bagpipe, and every kind of music, all the peoples, nations, and languages fell down and worshiped the golden image that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Therefore, at that time, certain Chaldeans came forward and maliciously accused the Jews. They declared to the king, Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. Got to butter him up.
You, O king, have made a decree that every man who hears the sound of the horn, pipe, lyre, trigon, harp, bagpipe, and every kind of music shall fall down and worship the golden image. And whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast into a burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews whom you have appointed over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, pay no attention to you. They do not serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up. And so what we see here, as we walk and the story begins, Nebuchadnezzar,
I don't know what the image is, all right? We just know it's a golden image. Most likely it was an image of himself because he loves himself, all right? Nebuchadnezzar probably had one of the only mirrors in the kingdom, all right? If you guys didn't know, you can't just go down to Walmart in Babylon, grab a mirror for $2 and put it in your house. You just couldn't do that, all right? And so he probably looked at himself a lot, thought of himself highly, all right? Sometimes I do that. All right. It's okay. But he made an image of himself. And so when he does this and he says, worship it, he makes a law. And what we see is this very ungodly, immoral law that comes out. Now, here's the question. It's the kingdom of Babylon. Should we not expect immoral, ungodly laws to come from the kingdom of Babylon? All right. So it wasn't a surprise. Obviously, people were like, it's just like any other day. Right. And so they do this, but then there's an extra part to this, like worship this golden image. And so one thing that we can see is that all laws in the land are not godly or moral. That includes our own country. Every law that ever passes is not always godly or moral. Let's just be honest with that, all right? God allows this to take place. God allows those things to happen. And we just saw that even from the beginning as I was setting it up, that God allowed Nebuchadnezzar and Babylon to rule. And it says the law went against a key law, at least biblical law, which was to not worship any other gods before him. And so at this point, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they have a decision to make. They have a choice that they can make. They can either follow the law and worship this golden image, or they could have some civil disobedience and not follow the law, right? And so they make their choice. And we can kind of see how they were being accused at this point. What choice did they make? They made the choice not to follow the law. They literally, when everyone else, when that music played, must have been one heck of a band. I don't know. I mean, harps, pipes. I don't even know what a lyre or a trigon is, all right? Well, at least a lyre I do, but a trigon, I don't know what that is. All right, maybe I need to Google it. But, like, they were going off because everybody in the land heard it, and they probably had multiple bands in different places, and people fell down and worshiped. And as people fell down and worshiped, there was these three guys sticking up literally like sore thumbs, all right? And you see these three guys, and they get accused of not following the law, and that's okay. It's okay. We've seen this in history. There are people who did not, like when you think about the Holocaust and the people that stood up against the Third Reich and kept Jews and hid them in their houses, some of them lied to make sure people lived. It's okay. There was a greater good that God was allowing to take place. And so sometimes we stand up to an immoral law. Sometimes we do that, and that is okay. All right, and so literally they stood up. Figuratively, they stood up against this law. And so when everyone fell down on their faces, they did not, and they were noticed. People saw that in their lives. And then they were accused by some Chaldeans, all right? So a couple points of what they didn't do, of what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did not do. They didn't make a big deal of the law. The law still passed. All right. As far as we know, as far as we can read, they didn't like go to Nebuchadnezzar and like pick it and like, that law is dumb. Da, da, da. They didn't do that. All right. They didn't do that. At least not what we've seen. They allowed this law to take place. All right. And then two, they didn't make a huge political stand again against the law. They simply just didn't follow it. All right. And they didn't do any protesting. They didn't gather others who maybe didn't agree. And they didn't need the affirmation of other people. They stood up for what's right, just doing their daily lives. All right? They just knew they worshiped their own God, and they weren't going to worship this God or this image of a God. All right? And so they just did what they normally would do. And then everything, you know, what we realized with them, everything didn't need to be announced. They were noticed not but what they said. They were noticed but what they did. And that's a big thing because, you know, they didn't need social media followers. They didn't go on Instagram, take a selfie and say, look at me, I'm standing up. All right? They didn't do all that. All right? They literally just disobeyed the law and did their own life. And they worshiped God. All right? So when we make our stand, when we make our stand for God, and understand that the background for what they're doing is they're doing this for God. They're not doing it for themselves. They're not doing it for what they think is right. They're doing it for what they know is right through the laws that they have known and learned through the Jewish culture and the true God that they followed, okay? And so when we think about our own lives, as we're taking a stand for God, we need to do that on an everyday basis. All right, we need to do that every day. When you're at work, you take a stand. And it's not necessarily the things you say. Sometimes you have to say some things. And we'll see that as we walk through this passage. All right, there are some times where you speak up for God. All right, and that's actually the next point. But there's also times where you literally, your actions speak louder than your words. Okay, and so that is the type of idea that we're getting here from Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Understand, they're going to go through the fire. They're going to go through some hardships. And the backside of that is, it wasn't even necessarily caused by them, all right? If we go into the whole scope of things, as we said in the beginning, the nation of Judah was the one that was unfaithful to God. And that was leadership generations before them. But they had to reap the things that were sown as far as faithlessness through the people. And so they're in this situation, not because of their own doing. They're in this situation because of their fathers and forefathers, all right? And so they're paying for it, but they make a stand, and they allow themselves to go through the fire, all right? And we'll see quietly to some extent of what that looks like. So let's go to the next one. Next section is 13 through 18, and what we see there is that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they speak up at this point, all right? And so let's go read 13 through 18. It says this, then Nebuchadnezzar, in furious rage, commanded that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be brought. So they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar answered and said to them, is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the golden image that I have set up? Now, if you are ready, when you hear the sound of the horn, pipe, lyre, trigon, harp, bagpipe, every kind of music, to fall down and worship the image that I have made, well and good. It's kind of funny because Nebuchadnezzar kind of tried to give him a second chance there, right? He's like, listen, this is what I heard. I trusted you guys. I placed you in positions of power. This is the law. I'm gonna give y'all another chance. It's okay. I'm gonna let that one slide. And understand, it says he was in furious rage. So when he did this, he consciously made this decision, right? Because he was angry, because he could have followed his anger just like, man, throw those dudes in the fire. Campfire, I don't care. Fiery furnace, whatever it may be, just get rid of them. But he said, let me give you a chance, all right? And they were given a second chance. And then he says, but if you do not worship, you shall immediately be cast into a burning fiery furnace. And who is the God who will deliver you out of my hands? And so this is their response to him. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. I don't know about you, but that's pretty bold to talk to the king that way. All right? Like, I don't need to tell you anything. All right? We don't need to answer you in this manner. If this be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of the hand of the out of your hand, O king. But if not, be it known to you, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up. And so they speak up. So they stand up, their actions show. And then second, they speak up. They speak up against the king. And they say, listen, king, our God is greater than you. Because remember, the king was like, hey, I'm going to give you a second chance. And if you don't take this second chance, who's going to save you from my hand? And they said, well, let's respond to your question. Our God will deliver us up out of your hand, and he will deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. But I love the second part of that passage. I love it. Because it reminds us that we have a knowledge and we know God's ability. But guys, let's be honest. We don't always know what God will allow in our lives, all right? And so they said, and I love it, and this shows to me, shows to me great faithfulness in a faithful God, all right? They say, but even if he doesn't, I don't know if I would have told Nebuchadnezzar that, but they did. He's like, you know, our God can deliver us from your hand, but Nebuchadnezzar, even if he does not, let it be known to you that we will not serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up. Even if he does not save us from your hand, we're still not going to follow that law because we know who the one true God is. Now, we've seen this. If every Christian, I believe, in their library, if you have a library at home, you should have and own the Fox's Book of Martyrs. All right? It's a great book. You probably won't want to let your kids read all through it, all right, when they're younger. But as they get older, like youth age, middle school, it's actually pretty appropriate. And it gives the story of all these people who were martyred for Christendom, right? And it reminds us that we have it pretty easy here, all right? I remember growing up, people even back then were like, oh, Christianity's being persecuted, in America. I mean, honestly, the hardest I ever got was a laugh from people, and I actually like getting laughed at, so it's okay, all right? And so, like, maybe they'll point a finger at you. They'll call you out. They definitely will call you out if you say you're a Christian, you do something wrong. Just be honest, right? They'll be like, see, you messed up, all right? And so maybe for me, at least, the persecution that we get here, I don't feel like it's in the same level as what they're getting in this book, or as far as you and many of you all know, other people in the world, our brothers and sisters in Christ around the world, all right? One of my favorite missionary stories are the guys that went down to Ecuador, all right? If you've never seen it, there's a movie called End of the Spear, all right? Jim Elliot, one of my favorite guys, all right? But he says a quote, I love it. He says, he is no fool who gives what he can't keep to gain that which he can never lose. He is no fool who gives that which he can't keep to gain that which he can never lose. That is the mindset that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are walking in right now. They had an ability. Self-preservation says, I'm just going to go ahead and fall down and worship. But it wasn't about self. They wanted to glorify God in their life. And so they spoke up against King Nebuchadnezzar. And don't miss that. Don't miss that they knew God could do it. They knew God could do it. They didn't know if God was going to do it, but they knew he had the ability to do it. It's kind of like little kids. When they ask you for something, except when it's very, like, out there, but usually when they ask you for something, they know you can do it as a parent. Yeah, I can get you Chick-fil-A. Not on a Sunday, but I can get you Chick-fil-A. But I'm not going to get you Chick-fil-A because you were just there yesterday, all right? And so sometimes that's what it is, right? God will allow certain things in our lives, and we don't understand it because, guys, we can look at all throughout history and see all the hardships and the struggles. You read Fox's Book of Martyrs. God did not deliver everyone out of the hand of punishment. Those guys that went to Ecuador, they got speared to death. And what's amazing is their wives went back. These widows went back to the same people group, shared the gospel with them, and they got saved. They came to know Christ. That is faithfulness. Faithfulness even in the midst of hardship and struggle, all right? I believe the biggest enemy that we have in Christianity, at least in American and Western Christianity, is comfort. Because we get comfortable in what we have, and we are not willing to risk for God, who risked it all for us. Bill said it earlier. He says, God died on the cross for us. He showed his love to us, his never ending, always everlasting, right? And he showed that love when we are running away from him. How much more can we show our faithfulness to a God who has ultimately shown his faithfulness to us, right? And so that's what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego is doing. They're speaking up against that. And then they step up. And so when they speak up, obviously, We already know Nebuchadnezzar is mad already, right? And so it says this, starting in verse 19. It says, then Nebuchadnezzar was filled with fury. So not only in the beginning, it said in verse 13, Nebuchadnezzar was in furious rage. And then in verse 19, it says, then Nebuchadnezzar was filled with fury. I mean, there's so many emphatics in this passage that sometimes we miss it. Understand, they were going to be thrown into a burning, fiery furnace. A furnace could have just, described it by itself. You're about to be thrown in a furnace. And everyone here could imply, okay, there's fire in there. Okay, so you can add fiery if you didn't know. Fiery furnace. Obviously, in a fiery furnace, things burn. And so there's emphatics in this passage for a reason. There is, strong language happening. Burning fiery furnace. Nebuchadnezzar was in furious rage, and then now he is filled with fury. And the expression on his face, verse 19, was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, because he was willing to give him a second chance, but not anymore. And then he said he ordered the furnace heated 7 times more than it was usually heated. That's hot. I have a grill at home. It's a nice little Weber. I'm a purist. I like charcoal. So for all of you propaners, I'm sorry. It's not really grilling. And yes, I stand true to that. All right, so sometimes when I gotta move some coals around in my grill, it's hot. In fact, you're supposed to buy this glove. I'm too cheap. I don't buy the glove. All right, and so I just have this really long tong that I'm like, and then you just the tips of your fingers are a little hot, and you get a bowl of ice next to it, and you're like, and then you do all that, and then so that's hot, and it's not that hot though. Because I look at it when I put the top on, it says maybe 400 degrees. That's hot. I don't know what this furnace felt like. All right? Well, we'll get an idea of what this feels like as we keep going. It says they heated, it was already burning fiery before this. Now it's 7 times hotter. So it's burning fiery furnace. All right? And so he ordered it to be 7 times hotter, and he ordered some of the mighty men of his army, the best guys he had, to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their cloaks, their tunics, their hats, and their garments, and they were thrown into the burning fiery furnace. Because the king's order was urgent and the furnace overheated, the flame of the fire killed those men who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. That's hot. They should have bought the gloves. All right. But they died. The guys that were helping Nebuchadnezzar, who actually followed the law, they ended up dying themselves, trying to throw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But here's the reason why I say Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego step up. They did not put up a fight. They allowed themselves to be bound up and cast into the burning, fiery furnace. How many of us willingly allow hardship to come into our life? It's hard. In fact, Pastor Dave said this a couple weeks ago. Many times when you go through hardship, the first prayer you pray, which is not bad, all right? By the way, it's not bad. It's okay. Is, God, take this off me. Lord, I can't handle this, God. I can't deal with this, God. Can you allow this to come off my shoulders? Take this burden away. And oftentimes, we get the answer that the Apostle Paul gets. You need to keep that thorn in your side. It's okay. And one thing I know that I've tried to teach the students, there's a word in Scripture that I love. It's called long-suffering, all right? The Greek terminology or the Greek etymology of it is hupomene, which literally means to remain under, all right? Hupomene, remain under. And the idea is like an olive press or a wine press, where you throw these fruits in and you squish them, give it all this pressure. Obviously, heat builds up to some extent because of the pressure. And then from those fruits, you get something much, much, much more valuable. You get wine and olive oil. And oftentimes in our lives, God puts us in a press or a fiery furnace, allows us to go through things, through the fire, to build character in us so that what happens afterwards is more valuable than what went in. We become more like him as we go through these things, right? As we know, hardship produces character. It really does. All right, you gain character by going through hardships in your life. And so sometimes the prayer maybe isn't, God, take this off me. Maybe the prayer changes to, God, what do you want me to learn from this that I can become more like you? And what can I learn from this? And what can you do with this situation so that you are magnified and glorified through me? All right, and so that's what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when they step up, that's the spirit by which they're stepping up. They're allowing themselves to go through this so that God is glorified at the end. All right, and then what's beautiful is this. When Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego stand up, when they speak up, and when they step up, what we see is that God shows up. All right, God shows up. And so let's turn to Daniel chapter 3. Or stay there, and we're going to do verses 24 through 27. And it says this, it says, then King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished and rose up in haste. So this is after they threw the guys in. He saw his guys fall and die, all right? And then he looks and says, then King Nebuchadnezzar, he was astonished and rose up in haste. He declared to his counselors, hey, did we not cast three men bound up into the fire? They answered and said to the king, true, O king. And he answered and said, but I see four guys in there, unbound, walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt. And the appearance of the fourth is like the sons of God. God shows up. Chris this morning asked me, did they ever identify the fourth guy in that fiery furnace? I was like, yeah, I think so. And we'll see that because God is made famous through this passage to the people of Babylon. All right. And Nebuchadnezzar makes another decree based on this. All right. But as they stand up, as they speak up, and as they step up and allow themselves to be thrown into the burning fiery furnace, God shows up for them. Remember, they made that proclamation, our God can save us, but even if he doesn't, even if he doesn't, I think that's every spirit that we should have in the things that we're doing. Even if God does not show up, I'm still going to be faithful to him. Even if God doesn't show up and give me what I wanted, I'm still going to serve him, all right? That's what we're supposed to do. And so, but in this case, God does show up. And they're walking around in the fiery furnace. I don't know what that looks like. I've never walked into a fire, ever, or through the fire. I've looked through a fire, all right, but I've never walked in them. But they're walking around there like it's a balmy 75 degrees. I don't know. They're like walking around. If I was them, I actually would have jumped out. I'm like, boo, right? I don't know. Maybe that's just me. I'm going to do that, all right? For those of you that know me, you're like, yeah, I can see that happening. All right, and then jump back in. But, you know, God shows up, and he's walking around there with him. And what's important is this. Nebuchadnezzar had to see that. All right? It wasn't enough that they would not have been killed by that fire, probably. All right? But he needed to see that fourth person. And I love what he says. He says, and the appearance of the fourth is like the sons of the gods. In his context, he was like, that fourth one looks like a god. I don't know how bright he was shining. I don't know. But he caught a vision of God. And this was a pagan, ungodly man. And he caught a vision of God. And then here's what ends up happening. He says, verse 26, then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the door and he called out, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out and come here. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the fire, and all of the guys, I'm just going to skip over there, all of the guys gathered together and saw that the fire had not had any power over the bodies of these men. Their hair, the hair on their heads was not singed, their cloaks were not harmed, and no smell of fire had come upon them. I don't know if you've ever been at a campfire, but you can smell like a campfire, and you're not even in the campfire, all right? These guys were in the fire, and they didn't smell like it. Their clothes were still, that man, that's good. Their clothes weren't even burned. So God not only protected their bodies, he protected them overall, all right? And he says, and then I love this, because here's the thing that we see. When you step up, Or when you stand up, when you speak up, when you stand up and God shows up. All right, and that's the fourth guy in the fire right there. All right, what we see is this, that God is made famous through the faith of his people. And that's what this is all about. It's all about the God allowing you to go through the fire so that he is made known to the world. And so Nebuchadnezzar, it says in verse 28, it says, Nebuchadnezzar answered and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants, who yielded up their bodies. And that's where we get the whole stepping up thing. They yielded up their bodies rather than serve and worship any God except their own God. Therefore, I make a decree. Any people, nation, or language that speaks anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be torn limb from limb and their houses laid in ruins, for there is no other God who is able to rescue in this way. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. So when we live out our faith, when we allow ourselves to be used by God in the way that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego was, God is made famous. People see God in us. And so, as we're closing, what are we known for as his people? Think that through. What are we known for? Not just here in America, but I'm talking about across the globe. What are we known for? Why are we known for what we're known for? And maybe we need to do a self-assessment in that way first, and then think, are we walking out our faith the way Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are? And is God being made famous by the things that we're doing and allowing to go into our lives? Or is he being made famous in a different way? All right, that is the question. And so let's live out our Christian lives daily in a way that makes others see the Christ that is in us. Because oftentimes we step into the way of what God wants to do with others. I don't want to be in the way. I want to be used. I want to be a tool for what God is doing. And so let's walk it out like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Let's pray. Dear God, we come to you grateful for the stories and the history that you place in your word, the things that we can learn from, God. Help us, Lord, as your people, to make you famous to the world, Lord, so that others may see you in us, God, for the things that we're going through, for the things that you allow to go into our lives. Allow us to walk willingly through the fire as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did, God. Be glorified ultimately. Be magnified in the things that we do, in the words that we say, God, in the actions that we show, in the attitudes that we carry, in the thoughts that we think. Allow us to glorify you in all things, Lord. We praise you. We give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen.